So it's my birthday tomorrow, and we thought we would have a chat about midlife birthdays. And I read in preparation for this, which wasn't very much preparation, that in your 40s, you aren't really, you go through a real dip in terms of happiness, but in your 50s, you get happier. So there is hope, regardless of where you are on your midlife journey.
So the 40s is the dip, and then you get happier when you hit
yes,
your 50s.
Yes, apparently.
And you've also said that it's a bit of a reset as well, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a reset.
Well, if you choose for it to be a reset, which is, yes. You know, as we know, and the message we constantly give out on this podcast, it's not that easy, but you have to be intentional to create the life that you want.
Yeah,
and you have to open up and talk about your dreams and wishes to take that step forward, to walk onto where you want to be,
Indeed. Especially
in midlife.
You've got a November birthday and I've got a February birthday. So listeners to the podcast may remember, because I think we've talked about it before, is that when I grew up in Kenya, through no fault of mine or my parents, I was sent to boarding school at the age of 8. And then I was sent to boarding school in England from Kenya. And that's a whole different subject. But being a February birthday, I'd from the age of 8, I'd never spent any birthdays at home. So the idea of having friends around, having a party, celebrating, all the things that mums and dads and others do for you, didn't get it.
No.
Don't
Poor
feel sorry
Patrick.
For me, but it may explain why they're sort of I've been numbed into feeling that actually birthdays just come and go. In terms of what happens on the day.
Yeah, whereas I'm brought up in Liverpool and we just any excuse
party.
For a party.
Yeah, party.
As you know.
Yes. I've known you for nearly 10 years now.
Yeah.
And no, all the birthdays have had to have been Absolutely. Very, very special.
I mean, you know what? Coming back to getting older, I do think it becomes less important about parties. I do think that. And more important about, you know, I mean, we haven't got anything. I don't know what's planned for tomorrow, but I know roughly what's planned for tomorrow. But what I did say was, let's just simplify it.
Mm.
It may be something to do with Hannah going away in a couple of days, but we've just gone for simple walks and a couple of lunches.
Yeah.
I mean, we've marked it, but we haven't done anything major. It's not like I'm acting like, oh, it's got to be all about me.
Nah.
But I do think it is an opportunity for if you aren't somebody who likes the limelight, or if you're somebody who's very giving, I do think it is a chance for those that you give to a lot to just make the day about you. And especially, I think I'm talking about females now. I do think mums and wives and most females are very, very giving, much more intentional and hardworking and whatever than men.
Yes. I'm not gonna go there.
And therefore, I do think it's time for the men to step up.
You deserve something on your
and
birthday.
Friends to step up and kids to step
and
up.
You need to
just do a bit of spoiling. I do think that's important.
Yes. No, but your birthday tomorrow is a birthday, but it's not a big milestone birthday.
No.
And I do like the idea for big milestone birthdays to celebrate them and to mark them in an extra special way because it means something and you know it's that they're chapters of your life in a way. Every 10 years you've got some milestone birthdays and it's important to celebrate them and remember in some way.
Pulling it back again to midlife, okay, and this 40s, you kind of drift with your happiness. I mean, it is very generalised. I haven't got stats or anything to back this up. I'm sure I could look it up. I'm surprised you didn't do that, actually.
Me and my stats.
You and your stats. But, you know, and then this idea of when you get to your 50s, you get happier. I do think there's something in that. It's definitely been that for me. And let's talk about our 40th birthdays then, I think, in terms of what we remember and where we were in life and how much life has changed since our 40th birthdays and since turning 50.
When I was 40, I had two kids under the age of 10. So my Hugo was about to turn 10 6 months later. But my birthday itself, I don't remember much at all. What I do remember, I was at work. I remember one thing. I was at work And at work, to celebrate my birthday, my work colleagues produced a nice big birthday card for me. And right in the middle of the birthday card was this photograph taken of me in my suit at work. And to this day, yeah. I look at that photograph. And in fact, at the time and to this day, I look at this photograph and I think, I look so tired and old. I'm wearing a suit.
I've never seen that.
I'll show it to you. I'm wearing a suit that was too big for me.
Well, yeah.
And I just looked as if I needed a good night's sleep. And yeah, here I am now with thinning and graying hair, and I think I look sort of more perky than I did in that photo. And so I have got that tucked away somewhere.
You've never shown
it. But when I get out and I look at it, I just close it. Oh, yeah. No, don't want to remember that.
Mm.
But that was my fault. So I, you know, you use the word happy. I think, you know, when you're 40, it is a time of life for a lot of people where, you know, they've got young families. They may or may not have sort of made it in on their career ladder or whatever. You're still generally having to work really, really hard at work to try to make it. There are all sorts. You know, financial pressures are potentially starting to peak. So it is the start of some quite, you know, difficult times of your life.
And in terms of your mindset, again, you know, we're not generalising, but, you know, we both had young children when we both hit 40. So we're talking again from our own experience. But there is sort of this expectation of what you're supposed to have and where you're supposed to be in life, throughout life. I mean, again, we touched on that in anniversaries. But when you turn 40, it's a tricky one because you tend to have, if you've had a career or whatever and you've had your children around the average age of, say, 30, they're only still very young, yes. aren't they?
Yeah.
And you're still in that kids mode. Yeah. You're still in that putting them absolutely first. I think I'm still in that mode. But, you know, it's still all about them and it's still about the mortgage and it's still about the bills and it's still about the expectations and the financial pressures, like you say.
The stereotype of the young parents not socializing and not going out because they're tired and they're looking after their kids, that's sort of still in there in your 40s. Anyway, talking about you, what about you? Do you specifically remember your 40th birthday?
Yeah, and with some sadness, actually, because, I mean, we tried our best. But obviously, in 2010, I think I've mentioned before, we've talked about my divorce, and sort of that turn of the decade, those big decisions that we've talked about in a previous podcast that happened in 2010, that turn of the decade, and I realised how unhappy I was. But I stayed much longer in the marriage because of Hannah. But when I turned 40 in 2011, we went to a lovely restaurant. We did our best. We had family. We actually had a lovely evening. And I've shared a photograph of me, my mum and Hannah outside that restaurant that I do treasure. But yes, I look at myself on that photograph. It's funny you should say about photographs. And I just see sadness in my eyes, you know. I was really unhappy. Yeah. So again, looking at my life has turned around. If you are in a place right now and you're turning 40 or your early 40s and you're unhappy, trust me, you can do something about it but I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
Yeah, and it'll take a while.
Yeah, I was, you know, my ex left in 2012. I was divorced by 2014. I was on my step back from Hannah, so I was bringing Hannah up by myself, working really hard, long hours, a lot of roller coaster things happening in my life in terms of other big losses, people passing away, which had a huge impact on me and friends and people that were close to me. It was a real tough time and kissed a few frogs along the way. There's a book in that, Beware. And I felt like I was slowly getting my act together in 2015, and then my mum suddenly passes away. So it was just this, I hated Sundays, you know, there was this whole year, you know, these years of really tough times, but getting through it and smiling for Hannah. And then 2016, I met you and came with to you with a lot of emotional stuff still going on, but I never really told you about, did I?
No, you were...
What was that then, 45?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah,
45. And I met you a few months after I turned 50.
You did,
oddly
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
I remember when we met... for a long, long time, I didn't think you came with any baggage at all. But I still don't think you came with a huge amount of baggage. I'm not saying that. But you were very good at sharing with me your life experiences and the things that you've struggled with and the things that you get emotional about. You share those with me over after quite a long time and over a protracted period of time.
Yeah.
And it's the actual sharing of those experiences which was the important bit.
Yes.
Over time. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. I mean, again, coming back to midlife and timelines, I think there's this expectation that we have our, pardon my language, shit together by the time we're in our mid-40s. Mm. And you do in terms of probably your choices of friendships or your choices of career or your where you're living and, you know, putting your children first and all these things. But you are still very much, I think, on a treadmill of and trying to meet other people's expectations. Maybe I certainly know that's how I felt at the time. And I was very reluctant. You're very reluctant to be vulnerable. And that's, again, another reason for our podcast. You know, the lessons that I've learned are the power of opening up. And the power of admitting that you don't have it all together. Mm. And what was important, I now know to you, and I did learn that as we were going through those early couple of years of meeting and getting to know each other, it meant a lot to you that I actually did start opening up and actually sharing some of this stuff with you. But it took a lot of trust.
Of course it did.
I had to build the trust. Mm. But again, the message is time passes anyway. So don't let those opportunities pass you by. If you do think there's somebody new in your life that you don't expect to meet, you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know how your life's going to change. But be open to it. I'm not saying, you know, light a match and which is, you know, we've talked about in midlife crisis. But just be open to new things happening in your 40s and taking that in even into your 50s and 60s. But, you know, we're talking about midlife and birthdays and milestones and how your life can change if you're open to changing and creating the happiness that you deserve. Mm.
And now we look back and you are in that process of resetting your life.
Yes, rebranding. You talk about rebrand. I mean, brand is like a business, but yeah. You know, we've called this rebrand. Maybe we should call it reset.
Yes, yeah. But maybe outsiders looking at you or looking at me or looking at us might say, oh, yeah, they might look at it as a rebrand. But for us, it's resetting. In a way, when I turn 50... and my first marriage broke down and I met you, I don't think of that as a rebrand. That was a resetting. It was a resetting back to... Resetting means going back to, you know,
who you were.
And that's how I see it.
Yeah, maybe we'll change the name of the podcast.
Yeah. But maybe rebrand is taking us back to the brand that we always wanted to be or were.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just semantics in terms of words.
It is semantics, I think.
But both of those life experiences gave us and it gives others an opportunity to sort of reevaluate your life, what's good, what's bad, where you wanted to go.
Yeah. And that's the thing with birthdays and milestones. They are reflection points, aren't they? Mm. You know, we can go, yeah, cheers, yay, great. But then, and I'm sure I did a lot of that. I have very little memory of my birthdays in my 40s when I was going through all this roller coaster ride of being on my own with Hannah and working and da, 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 and all this, a lot of stuff going on. I have very little memory, and I apologize to anyone who helped me get through those birthdays, but I just don't remember them. But what I do remember was digging deep, having to dig deep. I had moments where I'm under the duvet hiding and crying, and but most of the time I was like, right, I've just got to tackle this and look to move forward and to create the life that I know I deserve. I knew I had that in, I always had that belief that I knew something. I mean, I did doubt it a lot of the time.
Yeah, but you.
But I kept that belief.
Kept going, and you've done it.
Yeah.
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 It's proof. It works. Digging deep.
But it's still a work in progress. It's not done. I'm not done now. Yeah. I'm in my 50s. But the 50s was a whole. Once I turned 50, that was just after lockdown, and that was a whole different reset, rebrand, whatever we want to call it.
But the other another question. To do with birthdays, and you were touching on it in terms of milestones. Do you spend most of your time looking back? Because often birthday cards or whatever are photographs of things that you've done in the previous 12 months, and you it's an opportunity to look back on how the last 12 months or more have been.
Yeah.
Or maybe this isn't a black and white question. Or do you see it as an opportunity to say, well, this is a milestone, but yeah, what's ahead of me now? What's ahead?
I think I look what's ahead. I think I am very sentimental, as you know. I keep everything.
Yes,
I take a million photos a day. But I think I just do that. I used to write diaries as a kid, so it's just something that's just instinctive to me to keep pockets of happiness, because I have had a lot of period of unhappiness. So I've got this thing where I keep lots of happiness on my phone or in my diaries or in the cupboards. But I do think I am a person that looks forward. You have to be. Otherwise, like you talked about reset, but so many people, we've talked about this, people resign themselves to just getting older. Oh, I'm getting older. Or they resist some of the messages that we give out and roll our eyes.
And give up.
Well, yeah, or just go, oh, that's what a load of old nonsense, being intentional. What a load of old nonsense, being vulnerable. Don't be ridiculous. We're, you know, by this age, who cares? But actually, it's so important to care and to continue to care. And so important to know that even in our 50s or 60s, 70s, whatever it is, we're still learning. We're still regrouping. We're still learning life lessons.
I count that as those descriptions as giving up too. It's almost an attitude of shrugging your shoulders, saying that's a load of old cobblers.
Yeah.
I'm going to ignore that. And not being intentional because you think it's not worth it. But when you hit those milestones, of course you've got, by definition, the reality is you have fewer years of your life left. However many those are, it's fewer.
I try not to think about that.
Yeah. But I think that, but a lot of people do. And I think a lot of people, that explains why a lot of people choose not to celebrate birthdays as they get older. And the older they get, they choose not to celebrate because it's just a reminder of your age and all of the creaks and the everything else that goes on with your body as you get older. And they choose not to. But we believe, let's say, that there's still a ton of stuff that you can be doing with your life at whatever age. When we read articles in the newspapers or on the newspapers, what I'm saying, we don't read newspapers anymore. When we read stories in the media of very elderly people getting to milestone ages, we always point them out to each other. Isn't this fantastic? Look at this person. Yeah. They're there, they're chatting, they're celebrating.
We need to appreciate aging.
Yes.
We just need to appreciate getting older. It is a privilege. You know, how many people, I mean, you do hear more and more losses, and I think we're more exposed to it with social media. You hear and see so many sad stories. We've had, you and I have been to two things in the last couple of weeks, fighting to be heard with charity with women, supporting women with secondary breast cancer. We sat and we listened to these incredible women, both who are still here and some who have sadly passed. And the room was just full of love, this theatre, of, and it's such a life check. We then went to the Sean's place, you know, supporting men's mental health and support after suicide. We have to appreciate getting older. We have to get a grip of ourselves and go at life with gusto as much as we can, you know, and enjoy it a bit, being like, okay, you don't have to be running marathons or climbing mountains and all that, but just find what works for you that brings you joy and happiness and really just appreciate getting older.
Yes, and recognise what goes with it. Yeah. What goes with getting older? There are a whole lot of things. A lot of people think negative things, but there are a whole lot of positive things that come with getting older.
Yeah.
And it's a question of grasping those and you know, we use this term live intentionally, but I think that's a very powerful word.
Yeah.
It's sort of consciously in terms of what you can do to be getting on with life as best as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess what you're saying is let's try to make or put out a message to make aging aspirational.
Yeah.
Something, you know, look forward to getting older.
Yeah, it's not a natural go-to, is it? It's not a natural, oh, I can't wait to get old. Do you never hear anybody say that? No. I may be wrong. You point me in that direction. But actually, there is a lot of messaging out there now that where people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and whatever, saying, actually, you do let go of a lot of baggage as you get older. You want to protect your peace more. You look for things that give you energy, not drain your energy. You're much more intentional. You're wise. You've learned a lot of life lessons. So actually, it actually is aspirational. If you've got the right mindset.
Yes, absolutely. And for those in their 40s, I'll say one thing, which is I've met many people in their 50s, and I think we can be included, and we look at our 50s as a decade and say they were probably our happiest, most content, most settled period of our adult lives.
For me, I agree, because you've given me that.
And for many people have said that in their 50s have said that to me as well.
Yeah.
That's how they feel about it.
Yeah, but for me, but there is that for me, that there was that sort of personal time post-lockdown, which I've gone on about a lot, where I've looked to transform. They talk about, it sounds a bit naff, the midlife chrysalis instead of a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, lockdown was where, you know, I sort of went in on myself and shrunk in. And then, you know, navel-gazed to death, my mindset, my where I am, what I'm doing. You know, there was this... I know a lot of people thought once we were married, oh, that's fine. You know, the knight in the shining armor's come along and Michelle's happy now. But it wasn't like that, was it? I still had a lot of self-work to do. And that's when I got my counsellor. That's when I started reading up about, you know, anxiety, depression, and, you know, looking at my life and how I got to where I was and all those things. I did have that blessing of lockdown and that safety and security that you did give me. And that's where we're trying to give some of that back as coaches and mentors. Mm. So, you know, all those lessons that I've learned and you've learned on that journey, we're now looking to help others with that. And that's why we do the coaching, and that's which we love, don't we?
Yeah.
But I do think there is a period you have to do if you want to make changes and want to make your life better in your later years and make the most of your later years. There has to be that intentional putting yourself at the centre.
Yes. Consciously saying, I've got to sort my shit out. The 50s, great period of time for this 50s reset.
Yes.
But you've got to do it intentionally.
Yeah. And it is difficult because they talk about our generation. Are we X? Is it
Gen X?
I think it is. Being sort of the squeezed, lost generation. It's sad, really. But again, I've read a lot of that, and where we've got younger people are staying at home for longer because of the financial issues. And at the moment, you know, it's very difficult for young people. And then you've got older relatives living longer. So they're calling us sort of a squeezed generation. So... But even more reason to to put yourself at the center. And I'm not saying that from a selfish point of view, because if you want to be there for your children, you want to be there for your parents or older family members, which we have. We don't have our parents, but we have older family members. You have to stay fit and healthy.
Yes.
You have to look after your mindset. If you want to be there fully for them, you have to put yourself first.
So here's a question for you. Do you think it's cool to grow old?
Yes. I'm going to have to say that, aren't I? I'm going to have to say that. I think we need, it's a privilege, which I've said before. But we've got some of Hannah's younger friends who, I don't know whether they look at me this way, but they definitely look at you this way, go, Patrick's a bit cool. They think you're quite cool.
I have so few people calling me cool.
I don't call you cool.
I'm not cool.
Yeah. I definitely think you're an inspiration to younger men.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because you keep yourself fit, keep yourself looking okay. You know, you are determined to enjoy the next 30, 40 years, aren't you? You're absolutely determined, and there's no, you know, you're very focused on that. I mean, cool's a bit of a funny word, but we have to put the effort in to inspire others to do the same. We have to walk the talk, for want of a better phrase. Yeah. You know, we do look after our nutrition as best we can. Okay, we love the 80-20 rule, but we look after our nutrition. We try and keep fit and healthy. You more than me, I think, because we've got different levels of fitness and different issues. I've got a lot more physical problems and issues. But we support each other, don't we, as best we can, even though sometimes it does drive me nuts how fit you actually are. And it's very difficult living with you sometimes, as you know, because you're able to just get into this fitness mode. And that doesn't come naturally to most midlifers, I don't think.
But I think being cool, though, it's a state of mind, isn't it? It's fitness and health and being in a healthy body and looking after your body is an important part of trying to stay young despite the advancing years. Yes. But it's as much a state of mind, I think. Yes. I think if you were to say, well, what's cool and what's the opposite of cool? The opposite of cool as you get old is turning into, for me, would be turning into a grumpy old man who's quite negative and going around with a scowl on his face and, you know, the sky is falling and all of that sort of stuff.
No, that's not
rather
that's
than not being me. Positive and enthusiastic and, as you say, sort of grateful.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to have got to the age we've got to.
Yeah.
I think that's all part and parcel of the mindset
But you've got a big birthday coming up, haven't you, next year?
I do.
I love the fact that you've said that your 50s have been one of your best decade. I think that's brilliant.
And I'm looking forward to my birthday next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to be proud of telling people that I'm 60.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. You should be. Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit like, oh, I'm married to a 60-year-old.
I'll have another 40 years to live.
You will have always said you're going to outlive me.
Midlife to 100.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll do it.
Told you you're going to be pushing me around. No. What does that mean?
No, I'll have the remote. I'm not pushing. That's old school. I'm not pushing you.
You're going to carry me on your back.
I'll be using my mobile phone and doing it remotely.
So you keep saying you're looking forward to 60. What is it? What's the big deal? Are you looking forward to? Why is it so important to you?
Do you know why? I think it's because it's definitely an old age. If you say you're 60, I think you're definitely old. Yeah. There's a question mark as to whether you're still in midlife, and we would claim you are.
Yeah.
But in days gone by, you'd be an OAP, an old age pensioner, when you hit 60.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's a few years away from that, 7 years away from that. You know, the other thing is, as you know, my mum passed away when she was 60. So I'm getting to the age that she was when she passed away. But something she said that I always remember, and I can't remember exactly what age she was when she said this, but she was pretty close to 60, I think. She says, I just don't feel old. You know, she said to me that she, whatever age she was, she never felt that age. Yeah. She felt as if she was young.
Yeah.
She felt as if she was, it was still, she remembers so strongly, you know, her youth and her 20s. And that's the age she felt.
But everybody says that. Yeah. George Harris, I just put something on my Instagram, Talk on to Walk on Instagram.
Okay.
George Harrison.
Did he say that?
Yeah, it's a lovely, I'll have to rewatch it, but he says, you still feel like you're 15, 16, 17. Yes.
Yeah.
It's your body that tells you otherwise, but not your mind. Yeah. And that's where we, you know, that's the battle, isn't it? Yeah. Of having our, your mind, having your body keep up, your physical attributes and your ability keeping up with your mindset.
Absolutely.
And it's that balance of working on both consistently. Because, as you know, I get very down because I have issues with my back. But saying that, I've always had issues with my back. So maybe that doesn't make me feel old. Because I've had it since I was 18.
You've managed it.
I've tried to manage it, but I'm much more conscious of it now I'm older because I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can't, I'm not going to bounce back as quick as I used to when I have these issues. So I'm much more, I'm now consciously focused on making myself stronger because of my age.
Yes. And that's
so there is a reality to getting older that you have to accept that you need to work harder.
Yes.
For longevity.
Yeah, absolutely. You ought to give yourself more time to recover, all sorts of things, being conscious of your physical limitations.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, what's going on in here is that you still feel or think that you can be young.
Yes.
And it's in a way, it's quite sad because it's only society that determines what behaviours you should exhibit, unless you're the Rolling Stones or whatever. But society determines what people of different ages should do in terms of the way they should act and behave, which is probably why old people act in a particular way and young people act in a... I think it's a big part of it.
Yeah, I agree. But going to see someone like the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger running up and down the stage at 80, whatever. Mm. He does ballet, apparently.
Okay.
That's what I read. Because we were all Googling his age. How old is this guy? And he was actually running. I think he was 82, 83 or something. Paul McCartney, all these big icons.
Yeah, and they're doing yoga or Pilates or ballet.
I don't know how old. I mean, I might be putting years on Springsteen, but we went to see. Hey. He was in the E Street Band.
Late 70s, I
wanted to be with them. I want to be them. Now that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think they trump you on that one, I'm afraid. Springsteen and the E Street Band, the Rolling Stones. Yeah. Now that is
cool.
It's cool to grow old. They are the absolute definition of that.
Yeah, I think we've missed that boat.
But us going to see them is inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah.
We came away, and I'm sure everybody did, going, do you know what? Extra spring in our step.
Mm.
Pardon the pun.
Mm. But talking about being cool, and you can't get away with this, everyone thinks you're cool as well.
No.
They do.
I don't think so.
They do. They
Helen does call me the cool mum, though.
But exactly.
But that was when she used to want things off me.
No. You were the mum who always had the kids round, and still do try to get all the kids
that
round.
Is true.
They're just not kids anymore.
No, true. I still think of them as
open,
kids.
Open house, plenty of food. You like the odd party.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all big, big.
But I love being around young people.
Mm.
Young people keep you young. Mm. You know, none of this, I'm trying to find the right term, but I'm going to use a Scouse term, slagging them off.
Yeah.
None of this putting young people down. None of this moaning about them and, okay, there are issues going on in society now, but there's always been issues going on in society. If you're going to focus on the negative, you'll see negative.
Mm.
But I always try and look for the positive with young people. Mm. And if you're around them, and you listen to them, you learn from them. I want to learn. I'm learning from Hannah especially all the time. She's going off traveling and I feel like I want to go with her and just follow her, and not to be protective mum, there's a bit of that, but actually to see it through her eyes, you know.
Yeah
I really do.
Get her perspective.
Yeah,
get her perspective and work out whether her perspective on, let's say, when she travels abroad, the things that she sees, the people she meets, the things that she does, were any different from
when you did it.
Yeah.
Because I did it here. Well, I did it younger than her with a backpack around America, no phone.
Mm.
So it was, again, a different experience. But actually, there's probably going to be a lot of similarities.
There will
there's
be.
Loads of growth when you travel, isn't there?
And meeting people. That's the main thing, meeting like-minded people.
So coming back to birthdays then, I suppose we need to see them as checkpoints, I suppose, and opportunities to celebrate, not necessarily a countdown to you know, the inevitable.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, not like, oh, another birthday. Yeah. Oh,
another year nearer.
Oh, you know. So that's what we're advocating,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what I'm going to try and do tomorrow. Yeah. I'm so grateful that Hannah's still here, that we're together. We've got the dogs. We've got friends coming round. We've got the match on. We're going to go for an early tea, you know, that kind of thing, early dinner, and go for a nice walk. And I'm going to count my blessings, not the candles. How about that?
Count your blessings, not the candles.
I think that's a saying.
Oh, I thought you made that up, but that sounds, yes. Let's count the blessings and not the candles.
Not the candles, yeah.
Yeah. Counting the blessings includes things like meeting up with friends, going to concerts, travelling, seeing the world. Mm. You're doing all sorts of things to try to keep our mind young and feeling young.
But it's not just about the big ticket items, though, is it? It's a lot of the small things make a big difference, as, again, we often say.
That's right.
You know, and it is about, you know, what you expose yourself to. Mm. You know, the doom, avoiding the doom scrolling, avoiding negative news. Mm. And it's the very old saying that we do use a lot, as you are the sum of the people you surround yourself with. Mm. You are what you expose yourself to. Mm. So just be really conscious of, you know, the things that you do on a daily basis. Tune into that energy and how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And reignite some of that stuff that, you know, makes you feel good. Mm. You know, tune into it and do more of it. Mm.
And enjoy your birthday.
Enjoy your birthday.
And enjoy every birthday.
Yeah.
And the many that are coming. And they say many happy returns. Yeah. Many happy returns.
I've actually never thought of it like that.
Because you're next.
Happy returns.
To your birthday. You're going to return to your birthday.
Am I being really stupid saying that? I've actually never thought of it. May you get more.
Yes,
is basically
exactly.
What it's saying. And I am going to enjoy it. As long as you've got me a big fat present.
Big fat present. And I will say to you tomorrow, many happy returns.
Yeah. And I'll go, I'm counting my blessings, dear.
And not the candles.
And not the candles.
Good. And meanwhile, we can talk on.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep talking to each other. Keep listening. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you think about midlife birthdays.
Perfect.